The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the earth.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, January 13th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Glad you could be here. I've had an exciting weekend. I've returned from Denver, where, of course, we're trying to put together a marijuana TV channel. Stay tuned in hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll talk a little bit more about what's happening for the proposed KTHC in Denver. But for this first hour, we're going to be talking about marijuana all across the country, including a radical rant I've got for you at the end of the show about some stunning Republican healthcare hypocrisy in Florida. I know, it's pretty expected, right? Republican hypocrisy, Florida. But you just got to hear this one to believe it. So we'll get to that in our radical rant at the end of the show. At half past, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A segment. We do this every Monday where you can call in live and get your questions answered on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. Just dial in to 971-533-7111 or just get into our chat room on Ustream there and you can ask your questions via chat. Today, we're going to be talking to Dr. Mitch about the often repeated study by prohibitionists that heavy marijuana use in adolescence is going to lower your IQ. We'll tell you why that's bunk in our cannabis Q&A segment. Also on today's show, we'll have a little bit of time to speak with Bacon Dan right here in Portland, who's got a song for us for Roots Monday by a group called The Eels. So we're looking forward to that. Also, in behind the headlines, there's some data out from Colorado now on how many cases have been prosecuted for marijuana since they've legalized marijuana. Now, remember, they only legalized 1 ounce of possession. You can't sell it if you're not a retailer. And if you grow more than 6 plants, you're still a criminal. So there are still marijuana crimes in Colorado. But how many of them are getting charged will really shock you when we get to our Behind the Headlines segment. And that comes right after our 420 Radio News. We'll do that right after this break. And in the news today, we have got headlines coming to you from Washington State, where the competition is increasing for marijuana licenses. We've got a grant by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration on stone driving. We'll tell you where that's going. Also, in the state of Maine, we may have our first pro-marijuana legalization federal U.S. senator. We'll look at the campaign of Shenna Bellows out there in the state of Maine. We've also got a look at Pennsylvania, and Europe and Australia are looking at Canada. We'll tell you all about that when we come back from break, right here on The Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedoublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. 420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 13th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. With the unqualified success of the first week of legal marijuana sales in Colorado, competition is heating up for the retail marijuana licensing in Washington State. Over 2,000 applications for marijuana retail licenses were processed by the state for just 334 licenses that will be allotted through a lottery. About 500 of those have been rejected by the state for reasons including their proposed pot shop locations are closer than 1,000 feet to a school or youth facility. In Seattle alone, there are 408 applications for just 21 retail locations allowed, leading some compliant locations to attract the attention of multiple entrepreneurs. This, in turn, has led to complaints by some that applicants with more money were gaming the system by filing multiple applications for the same location through straw purchasers. The Washington State Liquor Control Board, in charge of implementing marijuana legalization, assures the public that only applicants with a valid location and a commitment from the landlord to operate there will be considered for the lottery. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has bestowed a $400,000 grant to the Colorado Department of Transportation, or CDOT, for an anti-toking and driving campaign and to train more drug recognition experts in the state police force. Emily Wilfong, a spokesperson for CDOT, said, quote, "Federal officials do realize this is a traffic safety issue and needs to be addressed," end quote. The program begins in March and includes posters on the harms of toking and driving to be distributed at Colorado pot shops and an advertising campaign on television. State police officials say Colorado has 185 officers trained as drug recognition experts and hope the grant will pay for the training of 35 more. CDOT data shows that of just under 25,000 DUI cases prosecuted in Colorado in 2012, just over 1,000 of them showed marijuana use as a factor, a figure confirmed by state probation department showing just over 1,000 marijuana users in their evaluations of just over 23,500 DUI convictions. Colorado law considers detection of more than 5 nanograms of active THC per milliliter of blood to be an inference of guilt regarding DUI, a standard not proven to accurately show impairment. The Democrat challenging popular Republican incumbent Senator Susan Collins from Maine isn't being shy about her support for marijuana legalization. Shayna Bellows is the former director of the ACLU of Maine and spoke with the progressive think tank Think Progress about her uphill battle to win election to the Senate. Quote, "Right now on the Senate side, there doesn't seem to be a leader who has the courage to move marijuana legalization forward," Bellows said. "I would be that leader," end quote. Bellows also said, quote, "Supporting marijuana legalization is being smart on crime because there are real crimes that do harm to our communities, crimes against persons that we absolutely need to address," end quote.
Bellows also pointed to the racism in marijuana prohibition, observing, quote, "Even in Maine, one of the whitest states in the country, people of color are twice as likely to be stopped and arrested for marijuana offenses than white people." A state senator in Pennsylvania is calling out the governor for his refusal to consider the legalization of Alepsia. The drug, a CBD-rich extract from the Charlotte's Web variety of marijuana, has proven beneficial to children suffering from rare forms of epilepsy that other medicines won't touch. It is so low in THC, the psychoactive molecule in marijuana, that hemp milk on grocery store shelves have more THC than Alepsia. Governor Tom Corbett, through a spokesperson, told the Harrisburg Patriot News his administration might consider support for medical marijuana if the Food and Drug Administration deemed it legitimate medicine through clinical trials. State Senator Dalen Leach, a co-sponsor of legislation legalizing the medical use of CBD, blasted the circular logic of the governor, saying, quote, "What we have now is a catch-22. There's no clinical trials because it's a Schedule I drug, and it's a Schedule I drug because there's no clinical trials showing that it has medical value," end quote. European and Australian media are reporting on the phenomenon of medical refugees from states where marijuana is illegal who are flocking to Colorado to access the high CBD oil known as Alepsia. The Realm of Caring, the nonprofit group formed by the Stanley brothers who are growing the Charlotte's Web strain, told the UK Telegraph that around 100 families have emigrated to Colorado, with another 171 families on the waiting list, and they cannot currently meet demand. State health officials have announced they want to spend $7 million on studies to determine the efficacy and long-term safety of high cannabidiol oil on epileptic children. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, January 13th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Catch the transcript of our 420 Radio News available daily at the National Cannabis Coalition. Visit ncc420.com for more. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at the statistics from Colorado on just how much marijuana legalization has changed the prosecution of marijuana crimes in the Centennial State. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Drug Truth Network, Century of Lies, starring Dean Becker from Houston, Texas. Mondays at 7 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. 15 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And we're taking a look today at the data from the Colorado Department of Justice following the legalization of marijuana. And I have a nice little chart I'd like to show you. If you're watching on our video screen, a nice little chart with some green and the nice red line running down the middle of it. And before the red line are the 12 months of marijuana prosecutions, charges that were filed in the state of Colorado before legalization took effect. The light green representing the charges for less than 2 ounces of marijuana, and the dark green representing all other charges above that. So trafficking, growing, sales, all that kind of such. And that averaged about 714 charges per month. Then you can see after the red line how marijuana was legalized and those charges all plummeted down to below about 133 per month. And we're not talking about just the less than an ounce that was made legal by Amendment 64. We're talking about all marijuana charges dropping. About 3 out of 4 marijuana charges that used to exist in Colorado do not exist now, thanks to the legalization of 1 ounce because of Amendment 64. They looked at all the cases in which there was a charge of at least one charge that had to do with marijuana. And in those cases, they found that there was a drop of 77%. In the number of cases that were prosecuted, that were charged there in the state of Colorado. And then when we look at just petty marijuana possession, those charges are down 81%. And petty marijuana possession, anything 2 ounces or less, is down 81% from 714 per month to about 133 per month. We also see that possession of greater than 12 ounces of marijuana, a large amount of marijuana that's still quite illegal under Amendment 64. Charges of possession greater than 12 ounces dropped 73% following legalization. And charges alleging possession with intent to distribute fewer than 5 pounds, which is still quite illegal under Amendment 64 if you're not one of the pot shops, those charges have dropped 70%. They even found the charges for public consumption of marijuana dropped by 17%, even as the city of Denver have been increasing their citations for public consumption. Statewide, public consumption tickets went down by 17%. Now, while prosecutions against people over the age of 21 declined, as of course you'd expect it to decline because now it's legal if you're over the age of 21, so did prosecutions against people under the age of 21. Those have decreased, even though possession under the age of 21 is still illegal in the state of Colorado after Amendment 64. Now, the Colorado voters voted to make possession of an ounce legal. And the same thing happened in Washington State, the votes to make an ounce legal. And I remember the cries from some people in the marijuana community that said, 1 ounce? That's not real legalization. Why, you'd still be a felon if you had more than 40 grams in the case of Washington State. You'd still be a criminal if you had more than an ounce in the case of both of those states. Why, that's not true legalization. And I remember being on this show ranting day after day about how important it was to end the contraband status of marijuana, because once marijuana was no longer contraband, it would no longer become probable cause for the people who had more than an ounce of marijuana. And guess who turned out to be right? Let me quote to you from the Denver Post. Tom Raines, the executive director of the Colorado District Attorney's Council, said the state's new marijuana laws are likely making it tougher for police to crack down on the remaining marijuana crimes. Because some marijuana possession and use is now legal, Raines said that means police are no longer to investigate in depth purely because they smell pot. Raines said, quote, "Just because your car smells like marijuana doesn't give an officer enough probable cause to initiate an arrest or a search," end quote. So I'll be monitoring my email account, russ@radicalrus.com, for all the apologies coming in from the no on I-502 crowd and the no on Amendment 64 crowd, who said legalization of 1 ounce wasn't real legalization and it wouldn't help these people, because now 3 out of 4 people who would have been criminals before, people who are still criminals, violating 1 ounce, violating more than six plants. People that have 12 ounces on them, people with intent to distribute, are no longer criminals because of this change in the state of Colorado's laws. And for the people that oppose that, you continue to support those close to 714 criminal charges being filed every month. Oh, it's time to end the criminality. Any step we make to end the criminality is a good step. But for now, let's celebrate the legalization. We've got a big old jar of something cushy. We'll tell you more about it when we get back.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, time for some Daily Toker Tunes. We go to the phone lines where Bacon Dan is waiting for us. How you doing, Bacon Dan?
I'm doing very good, Russ, and I just want to send out an official congratulations on all the news from this past weekend. And I just got to tell you, man, Portland's not going to be the same without you.
Yeah. We'll see how this all turns out. We're still trying to put everything together, but things are looking pretty positive for KTHC Denver. You know, we'll just see how it all works out, man. At the very least, we'll be here with 420 Radio. Even if that does go live, we'll always have 420 Radio to talk. So things are good here in the PDX. Nice day outside today. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful shade of gray, and we only have a slight mist in the air. So, you know, it's pretty temperate. And it's, you know, it's a good day. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy. So I can't ask for much more than that.
That is a Portland weather forecast. It's a light gray with just a slight mist.
A beautiful light gray
with just a slight mist. All right. Well, you've got this song queued up for us by a group called The Eels, which I've never heard of, and it sounds very interesting to me. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, it's funny. This is a song that I found years ago. When I was working at a Macy's as a plainclothes security detective, which, for anybody who's ever met me, I'm pretty much the least intimidating person you can meet. But they would always have these weird videos and songs playing, and the one time I just pulled up my video cameras, and I was watching this video, and I kind of missed somebody shoplifting, but the music video was really good, and then I started listening to the song, and it's just, it's a great little, I don't really know how to describe it. It's such a weird hodgepodge. If you've ever seen the movie Hot Fuzz with Simon Pegg, you will recognize this movie from that, the song from that movie. And it's just a really great, great song Of course, this is from the Soul Jacker album, song being called Soul Jacker Part 1. And this is great. Get something really heady, smoke it up, sit back, and you're going to start moving from this one. I hate to break it to you.
All right. Well, here we go. This is the Eels with Soul Jacker Part 1. Bacon Dan, we found your bacon. It's on screen now.
Perfect.
We'll see you later, my man.
Catch you later.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
Johnny don't like the teacher, Johnny don't like the school. One day Johnny gonna do something, show him he's nobody's fool.
Oh yeah.
Sisters, brothers, make better lovers. Family, freedom, and all the colors. Dream of private broken hearts. Won't let you leave until you're bleeding. Sally don't like her daddy. Sally don't like her friends. Sally and Johnny watching TV, waiting for it to end.
Oh yeah!
Sisters, brothers, people, lovers, family, fair down under the covers, dream of park and broken hearts, won't let you leave until you rock!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Toker Talk Radio, starring Russ Belville from Portland, Oregon, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, time for our questions with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch? Are you there? Yep, having some problem with our connection right now. We'll try a redial and see if we can get out to Dr. Mitch Earlywine out there at SUNY Albany for our Ask Dr. Mitch segment. Remember, you can get your questions in to our chat room if you type Q colon. That'll help highlight them and make them easier for us to find. Our main topic today is going to be on that study that supposedly shows the 8-point IQ drop for people that start marijuana use in their early adolescence. We've been hearing this a lot from the Project Sam people, a lot from the opponents of marijuana legalization. Seems like anytime there's a talk show on lately where they're talking about this, whoever's opposed to marijuana legalization likes to bring up the 8-point IQ drop. Unfortunately, it's just not true, and we're going to learn about that. Yeah, that was afraid of. I'm afraid we're not getting in touch here with Dr. Mitch. We're going to have to figure out what's going on there, but let me report on this. I've got the study pulled up right here in our Ask Dr. Mitch segment, but this was a study that was it's known as the Dunedin study, University of Dunedin in New Zealand. And there's a recent story now in Scientific American. This is up on scientificamerican.com, the January 14th edition. So the title is Pot Smokers Might Not Turn Into Dopes After All. And the lead begins with cannabis rots your brain. Or does it? Last year, a paper published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences suggested that people who used cannabis heavily as teenagers saw their IQs fall by middle age. But a study published today, also in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, says that factors unrelated to cannabis use are to blame for the effect. And so they wanted to take a look at these competing claims. And let's see if we got any connection. Dr. Mitch, are you there? Nope, I'm afraid, folks, we're not going to be able to get in touch with Dr. Mitch today. I apologize for that, but we'll continue on the subject. The study was, like you said, was reported on today in Scientific American. And the question asks, what other factors might cause the decline in IQ? They refer to the work of Ole Rogeberg, who's a labor economist at the Ragnar Frisch Center for Economic Research in Oslo, Norway. He's also the author of this paper that's debunking the 8-point IQ drop. He ran simulations which showed that confounding factors associated with socioeconomic status could explain the earlier results. For example, poor people have reduced access to schooling irrespective of their cannabis use. So the Nature article asks, is this a case of correlation versus causation? Correlation meaning, you know, two things happen at the same time doesn't necessarily mean those two things had anything to do with each other, right? Causation means that A caused B. Well, they say possibly. In the Rogeberg paper, they say the data that was used in the original paper came from the Dunedin study, which is a research project in which a group of slightly more than 1,000 people born in New Zealand from 1972 to 1973 have been tracked from birth to age 38 and beyond. Okay, so you got 1,000 people born in the early 70s, and we've tracked them all their lives, right? And as with all such birth cohort epidemiological studies, which they also call longitudinal studies, There's a risk of inferring causal links from observed association between one factor and another. Past research on the Dunedin cohort shows that individuals from backgrounds with low socioeconomic status are more likely than others to begin smoking cannabis during adolescence and are more likely to progress from use to dependence. Rogerberg says that these effects, combined with reduced access to schooling, can generate a correlation between cannabis use and IQ change. According to Rogerberg, people with low socioeconomic status are, on average, likely to show declining IQ as they age and gradually self-select or are sorted into less cognitively demanding arenas. The idea here is that people that are less likely with less socioeconomic status are less likely to go to like college. And then when they don't have a college degree, they're more likely to take manual labor jobs. So they also asked, do other studies show a drop in IQ with cannabis use? And Rogerberg cites three studies in which cannabis use is not associated with declining IQ. He says that these studies show clear reductions in IQ for the heaviest smokers, but that these are not permanent, and people who have stopped smoking heavily show no decline. What did the original paper's authors make of Rogerberg's analysis? You know, now that he's called them out on it. Well, Madeline Meyer is a psychologist at the Duke Transdisciplinary Prevention Research Center in Durham, North Carolina. She co-wrote the original 8 IQ points are lost paper. And she says Rogerberg's ideas are interesting. However, she points out that the authors of the first paper restricted their analysis to individuals in middle-class families and those with low or high socioeconomic status. The outcome suggests that the decline in IQ cannot be attributed to socioeconomic factors alone. In their original analysis, Meyer says, she and her colleagues controlled for socioeconomic status and found that in all socioeconomic categories, the IQs of children who were not heavy users remained unchanged from adolescence to adulthood. Therefore, she says, socioeconomic status does not influence IQ decline. So who is right? Well, is there a way to find the answer definitively? They say, sure, if we could compare this study with a study in another country, like in the United Kingdom, they did a study that found kids that were breastfed for longer went on to have higher IQs, lower blood pressure, and lower body mass index. However, longer breastfeeding is associated with higher socioeconomic status in the UK. Okay, so if your parents were rich, it was more likely you were to breastfeed because mom had the time to do something like that rather than, you know, getting some formula for you. But when they went and did a study in Brazil, where poor people were more likely to breastfeed, the link with IQ was maintained, but all the other benefits disappeared. So it can matter where you're asking the question, how you're asking the question, into what kind of results you're going to get. This is where Dr. Mitch actually comes in. They asked, what do other scientists think? Mitch Earlywine, a psychologist at the University of Albany, State University of New York, says that Rogerberg's analysis definitely supports the idea that links between adolescent cannabis use and drops in IQ are essentially spurious, arising from socioeconomic differences rather than any sort of pharmacological action. John McLeod of the University of Bristol, UK, who worked on some other data, points out that Meyer and her colleagues acknowledged in their original paper that the results might be caused by confounding factors. He adds that the modeling in Rogerberg's paper shows that within a set of reasonable assumptions, this is indeed possible. So, pot smokers might not turn into dopes after all. And this is reprinted from the magazine Nature. The information was first published a year ago today and republished today, January 13th, 2014. Pot smokers might not be dopes after all. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have time for our radical rant. My apologies, we couldn't bring Dr. Mitch to you today. We will definitely work to get him on the show next week. So get those questions, save them up. They'll be just as good next week. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, we got the radical rant, a look at some stunning hypocrisy in the state of Florida. Gosh, does anybody get any health care down there? You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at NORML.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORML.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Damn. Hey. How did she get home? Man, I was so high. I didn't. Are we cool? Tim, you know me. That's not me.
Hi, my name is Jack. I'm a River Rock wellness patient. I have a long history, a 40-year history of skin cancer. After about a year at River Rock, I started to talk to Tony about a program for my skin cancer, and we came up with a complete program that includes tea, tincture, capsules, oils, raw juice. This combination, after about a month, I could see my skin had cleared up. I had many dry spots and pink spots on my skin that would mutate before that, and my skin started to clear up. After about another 2 weeks, I went to my skin doctor for my regular appointment. I'd been going every 3 months and having excisions and freezings for at least the last 10 years. I've been going for 40 years, but for 10 years I've been going every 3 months. At this point I went back and the skin doctor could find nothing on my arms. He was amazed. I explained to him what I had done. He wanted to know if he should put it in my records. I said, go right ahead. Let's give the credit where credit is due. And happy to say that at this point, if I get even a single spot, I can treat that spot just with a dab of the oil and a Band-Aid, and within days that spot is gone. I believe cannabis cures cancer, and I'm living proof here.
Want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
All right, for the rant today, I got to talk a little bit about a story I picked up out of the Bradenton Herald in Florida. And it's just a excellent takedown of the hypocrisy of Republican leadership in Florida. It's just stunning. And I know political hypocrisy is nothing new, and I don't mean to necessarily pick on Republicans. They just happen to be the ones in charge in Florida that are mucking things up for medical marijuana patients. There's plenty of Democrats out there to blame for their getting in the way of medical marijuana, too. Just happens to be Florida today. So this has to do with their reaction to the amendment, right? And it would be funnier. It'd be a funnier story if it didn't affect the health care of millions of Floridians. We're going to rewind a little bit to 2010. 2010, we've got President Obama fighting hard for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which has been deemed by the press to be called Obamacare. And President Obama himself has said, hey, he's fine with that. If people want to think Obama cares, that's good. So it's called Obamacare, and whether you think it's a correct mandate for the federal government to be fining people who don't buy into an insurance program, that's beside the point for this discussion. The Affordable Care Act was passed. It was passed by a majority. It got through the House, got through the Senate, got signed by the president, went before the Supreme Court, and even the Supreme Court found it to be legal. So the Republican-led Florida legislature back in 2010, as soon as Obamacare was passed, it sprang into action. By God, they proposed a constitutional amendment, and it basically gutted most of Obamacare. Now, it went before the courts in Florida, and they threw it out. You know, the legislature puts through this constitutional amendment, but the courts threw it out because they said it's ballot summary. Which in the ballot summary here, the Florida Republicans, to try to gut Obamacare, tried to frame it in such a way as saying that it protected the doctor-patient relationship. We don't want the federal government getting in between the doctor and the patient. Boy, we got to respect the doctor's wishes when they want to talk to the patient. We got to protect the doctor-patient relationship. So that was in the ballot summary. And the court said, well, when we look at the actual text of the amendment here, it doesn't really have anything to do with that. It has to do with denying care to millions of Floridians. So it's one of those bait and switches. And the courts can throw those amendments out. If they feel it's a bait and switch, that, you know, they're saying one thing in the summary and then doing something different in the text, out that goes, right? So the Republicans, as soon as the courts threw this out, they wailed and gnashed of teeth. They complained that the courts were interfering with the will of the people. By God, how you get in the way of the will of the people by not allowing the people to vote on their anti-Obamacare constitutional amendment. Boy, you judicial activists, you darn judges getting in the way and not letting us vote on the anti-Obamacare amendment. So, come 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court decides Obamacare is constitutional. And that went against the predictions of lots of conservatives who thought the Roberts Court would actually overturn it. 5-4 decision, they actually upheld it. When they asked Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott about the Supreme Court deciding Obamacare was constitutional, Rick Scott said, quote, the court had forced the government into the important relationship between patients and their doctors, end quote. Yep, that's right. We can't, by God, the judges on the Supreme Court have forced the government in between a doctor and a patient. How could they? Now, in the following election, the legislature tweaked their anti-Obamacare amendment from 2010. They tweaked the summary of it so that it would get past the courts. So it actually did get to go in front of the people. And when it got on the ballot in 2012, it only got 48.5% of the vote. Didn't even get a majority, 48.5%. And constitutional amendments in Florida, they got to get 60% to pass. So it lost by a large margin in Florida. So we got a Republican Party here, and we got a governor We got a state apparatus controlled by Republicans that so firmly believes in the important relationship between a doctor and a patient that they're going to go to every means necessary to make sure that Obamacare doesn't get implemented in Florida, because by God, we got to protect the relationship between a doctor and a patient. So what do you think they think about that relationship between doctors who recommend medical marijuana to their patients? How are the Florida Republicans on listening to the will of the people on the proposed medical marijuana amendment for 2014? Well, on Thursday, one Florida Republican, and to show you I'm not picking on Republicans en masse, we got a good one out there. One Florida Republican, Representative Matt Gaetz, and he heads the Florida House Criminal Justice Subcommittee. They had a 2-hour hearing yesterday on the Charlotte's Web variety of marijuana that they use to make that high CBD oil, that cannabidiol oil that you saw on in the Dr. Sanjay Gupta weed documentary, that CBD oil that doesn't get you high. Everybody says it doesn't get you high. And they're giving it to kids in an oil form, and it's damn near curing their epilepsy. You remember that, right? So he finally had a 2-hour hearing where parents came forth and testified, and the Stanley brother, one of the Stanley brothers, I think, was out there testifying. Finally, a 2-hour hearing. And meanwhile, as this is going on, we've also got the activists in Florida, People United for Medical Marijuana, who've gathered over 1 million signatures to put a constitutional amendment for medical marijuana on their ballot. And polls show that there's support for medical marijuana in Florida at 82%. And even 70% of the Republicans polled support this Florida medical marijuana amendment. It'd be a state amendment, not federal. 70% of Republicans are in favor of it. So despite this overwhelming support for medical marijuana, the state's Republican Party keeps putting up every roadblock possible to enacting the will of the people they're so concerned about. Representative Gaetz's hearing on CBD oil was the first time any government body in Florida has ever discussed the issue of medical marijuana. For 3 straight years, proponents of a medical marijuana law have been filing legislation to legalize medical use, and for 3 straight years, they've been denied any hearings on their bills in Tallahassee. Poor Kathy Jordan out there in Parrish, in her wheelchair, surviving almost 3 decades now with Lou Gehrig's disease, thanks only to medical marijuana, can't get a hearing in Tallahassee. So kudos to Representative Gaetz for finally holding a hearing, and it is just for the epilepsia, you know, because it won't get you high, but we'll tackle that later. So Republican Attorney General Pam Bondi, this will give you an idea how much they care about the will of the people, how much they care about that important relationship between the doctor and the patient. Attorney General Pam Bondi has challenged this constitutional amendment at the Florida Supreme Court. And they have until April 1st to decide if the measure can be voted on by the people. Now, Bondi claims that the ballot summary indicates medical marijuana will only be for, quote, debilitating conditions, but that the actual language would allow California-style medical marijuana for any condition. She wants the Supreme Court to block the amendment on that technicality. Think about that for a second. You heard me right. The Republicans who complained that courts blocked the people from voting on their anti-Obamacare amendment, one that turned out to be opposed by the majority, by the way, are now using the same court tactic to block a medical marijuana amendment that 70% of their own Republican voters support. The Republicans who complained about the government intrusion into the doctor-patient relationship with Obamacare are more than willing to have the government intrude on the relationship between kids with epilepsy and adults with ALS and their doctors who recommend medical marijuana. Ironically, Attorney General Bondi was joined by Representative Gaetz's dad, the state Senate President Don Gaetz, as well as the State House Speaker Will Weatherford, in that complaint at the Supreme Court. And when asked about Attorney General Bondi's attempts to block the voters from deciding on medical marijuana, the governor, Rick Scott, who complained about Obamacare's intrusion on the doctor-patient relationship, ooh, we can't have that. Remember him? He said, quote, "I think the Attorney General has done the right thing with the advice she gave the Supreme Court. I oppose illegal drug abuse. I've watched what it does to families," end quote. Well, it seems to me that in Florida, at least, most Republicans oppose anything that might get health care to families. When it comes to the will of the people, I guess only the corporate people like big health care, big pharmaceutical, and big prison actually get any say in Florida. Now, we've got till April 1st before we learn whether or not the Florida Supreme Court will allow this medical marijuana amendment to move forward. And folks, if it does move forward, they have got a million signatures for it. It will make the ballot. And with 70% of Republicans in favor and 82 to 88% of Democrats and independents in favor of this medical marijuana amendment, we will see Florida become a medical state in 2014. It's just a matter of time at this point. All right, we're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we'll close out the show. Thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show.
Way up in Harlem at a table for two, there was four of us, me, your big feet, and you. From your ankles up, you sure are neat, yes. But from that down, exactly too much feet. Yes, your feet's too big. Can't stand you cause your feet's too big. Say, I can't tolerate you cause your feet's too big. Join in choir.
Quiet, sweet water.
How's that for a vocal? Ain't it a killer? Where'd you get them?
That's music from Fats Waller. You'll be hearing some more music like this from the Reefer Jazz era tonight on the new Viper Hour, 8 o'clock Pacific time, right here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show today. Again, my apologies, we weren't able to get Dr. Mitch on the line. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We've got a lot of stories to cover in Toker Talk Radio. One writer from Policy Mike warns that the drug cartels may try to overrun Colorado's legal pot shops. We'll see what the possibilities of that are. Also, sad story about a man sentenced to life in prison for selling marijuana. And if you thought my rant on the Emily Miller Reefer Madness was kind of fun, wait till you hear the Reefer Madness from Sally Zelikovsky, writing in American Thinker today, which leads with the heading 10 years of thinking. And if this is what we're getting out of American Thinker after 10 years, they need to go back and do some more thinking. This is pretty sad. Also, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We hope to see you here at the Russ Belville Show's Toker Talk Radio. Coming up next, 4 o'clock Pacific time, live. Replays at 7 p.m. Pacific. We'll also tell you a little bit more about what's going on with my Denver project. Trying to get the world's first 24-hour marijuana television station off the ground. All sorts of fun. But don't worry, 420 Radio is not going anywhere. We will stay on the air. 420 Radio. The marijuana voice. For the activists out there, glad you could be with us. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking, and it goes down smooth.